Hello, my friends. D.L. Anderson here. Welcome back to Transformation by Truth podcast as we share the truth concerning these last days and what you must do to save yourself from the violent times that are just ahead. Today's podcast is a word of truth accounting of the end times. The end is coming. The end is near. Today's podcast is entitled End Times 265, The Sealing of the 144,000, Part 1. The podcast's objectives are: analyze the law we are not to guard in these last days, analyze what it means to operate within the spirit of the law, reveal the goal of the Torah of perfection, analyze the importance of becoming a master of the Father's will, analyze the spiritual standard as it pertains to the seal of Elohim, and reveal a critical matter concerning the 144,000 who are sealed in these last days. This lesson contains timelines and other visuals. Therefore, if you are listening to the podcast, I advise you to watch the video version on our website or YouTube, or request a PDF of the lesson so you can add the visual effect. The Spirit of the Law. Now, in the most recent podcast, we completed our analyses of the three elements of the law of Moses we are to keep in these last days. These three elements represent a summary of the law that have persisted and are now cornerstones within the Torah of Yahushua Messiah. Here again, these three elements of the law are: one, the moral law, i.e., the law governing man's interaction with Elohim and his fellow man; two, the ceremonial law, i.e., the law governing the appointed times of Elohim; and three, the judicial law, i.e., the law governing the civil government and justice. Now, here's a question. Apart from this summary, is there a simple way to understand which precepts of the law of Moses we are to guard in these last days? The answer is yes. From this summary, we can come to a simple conclusion on this matter. Now look, it's time for a revelation. In these last days, we are to guard every facet of the law of Moses with two primary exceptions. One, we are not to guard any of the commands that were fulfilled by the ministry and sacrifice of Yahushua Messiah. And two, we are not required to guard any of the commands that pertain to the land of promise from which we were expelled. Outside of these, the majority of the commands in the law are applicable in these last days, for they have not been upgraded or fulfilled by a validated spiritual process. Therefore, we should be guarding them as we are led by the Spirit. The key in this and every situation is being led by the Spirit. Outside of the obvious commands, for example, the Ten Commandments, the festivals, and the appointed times, I have not been led to dissect the law of Moses to such a fine degree. Here is why. The Torah of perfection, although established upon the law of Moses, extends far beyond the spiritual reach and scope of the law. Therefore, our focus should not be on the limited scope of the law. Rather, it should be on the unlimited reach of the Spirit behind the law. From this line of thought hails the philosophy of the Spirit of the law. Now, by definition, the Spirit of the law is the essence of the law. It is founded upon all the principles of the law and the purpose behind every command found within the law, which can only be fulfilled by the one who was guarding the command. Needless to say, the Spirit of the law is the Spirit of Elohim, by which we are sealed. Therefore, we do not need to execute a thorough evaluation of every precept within the law of Moses, with the expectation that our salvation lies in guarding these precepts, and only these precepts. Quite the contrary, our salvation lies in our mastery of the Father's will, and His will for us in these last days extends far beyond the limited scope of the law of Moses. A reflection of your unique path. Now, this shouldn't be too hard to understand. Just think about the nature of our lives in the lands of our captivity. Think about all the ways our lives are different than the lives of our forefathers who received the law of Moses. Now, ask yourself the following question. How many of our life matters are not addressed in the law of Moses? The answer, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of features of our lives today that are not addressed in the law of Moses. Take, for example, technology. Technology, as we understand it in the 21st century, is not addressed in the law of Moses. The same can be said for many other aspects of our lives. There is no written law concerning them. Nevertheless, we have the Spirit of Elohim. And as I said before, He is the same Spirit behind the law. And thus, we can lean on the Spirit of Elohim to guide us in determining how we should handle these situations in which there is no written law. Now, when I say there is no written law, I am simply stating that it is not recorded within the law of Moses. Here again, there are hundreds, even thousands of situations we will encounter in our lifetimes, which are not addressed in the law of Moses. The question is, how are you going to succeed them? How will you ensure you remain in the Father's will? The answer, by following the same Spirit that is the source of the law. This is what it means to be within the Spirit of the law. This speaks to another key difference between the law of Moses and the Torah of perfection. Namely, the law of Moses is finite. It contains a predefined scope that cannot be amended, and it served a particular people at a particular time. On the other hand, the Torah of perfection is infinite. It is not established upon a predefined scope. Rather, it addresses every life situation experienced by every man woman and child on this earth, and it ensures we remain steadfast in the Father's will in each situation. Lo, in this regard, the Torah of perfection, like the Spirit of Elohim, is truly dynamic, for it is revealed to us in real time. Likewise, it is a reflection of your unique path into everlasting life. This is because none of us knows what we will have to endure to be saved. We don't know all the tests and trials that are waiting for us. We are not aware of all the circumstances or situations we will eventually find ourselves in. Nevertheless, if we follow the Torah of perfection, our execution of the will of Elohim will not only be flawless, it will be within the spirit of the law. And this is my final witness to the oneness between the law of Moses and the Torah of perfection in these last days. Masters of the Father's will. Now, these things being what they are, we can make a final verdict as it pertains to those who will obtain the seal of Elohim in this present season. And I will offer this verdict in the form of an interest point. Those who will obtain the seal of Elohim are those who will become masters of the Father's will. This truth brings us to the question of the hour. How do you prove that you are indeed a master of the Father's will? The answer, by your ability and willingness to execute the Father's will without fail. My dear friends, this is the purpose of the Torah of perfection. This is the goal of the spirit behind the law. This is what it means to be a disciple of Yahushua Messiah, a man who testified that he always did those things which please the Father. Now, John 8:28-29 reads, "So Yahushua said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Adam, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do none at all of myself. But as my Father taught me, these words I speak. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him.'" Lo, there is a powerful inflection point Yahushua Messiah conveys in this passage, and I trust you caught it. However, if you did not, I will offer it to you now. This is another one that you should bookmark. Yahushua Messiah testified that Yahuwah Elohim was with him because he always did what was pleasing to him. Thus, the inverse is true. Yahuwah Elohim will not be with us if we do not consistently do those things that are pleasing to him. My dear friends, this is quite simply the goal of the Torah of perfection. It is to empower us to become masters of the Father's will so that we, like Yahushua Messiah, always do those things that are pleasing to him. Listen to me. If you think you can obtain the seal of Elohim without doing those things that are pleasing to Elohim, then you are deathly ignorant and you will never be sealed. Not only this, but you obviously don't know Elohim. Neither do you perceive his plan to destroy all who transgress his commands. Isaiah 13:9. See, the day of Yahuwah is coming, fierce with wrath and heat of displeasure, to lay the earth waste and destroy its sinners from it. Micah 5:15. I shall take vengeance and wrath and rage on the nations who did not obey. Nahum 1:2-3. Yahuwah is a jealous and revenging El. Yahuwah is a revenger and a possessor of wrath. Yahuwah takes vengeance on his adversaries, and he watches for his enemies. Yahuwah is patient and great in power, but by no means leaves unpunished. Yahuwah has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Trust me, if we had time, I could line up more than 100 scriptures that reveal Yahuwah's desire and plan to destroy all those who walk contrary to his will. And yet, we can easily prove this matter by recalling the purpose of these last days. Remember, the purpose of these last days is to prepare the earth for the millennial reign. That is, 1,000 years of peace on earth and goodwill for the remnant of man. Therefore, all who will participate in this reign must be prepared for this kingdom. They must be set apart. And all who submit themselves to the Father's will to be set apart will obtain the seal of Elohim. None more and no one else. The spiritual standard. Now, we can further prove this matter by analyzing the nature of the 144,000 physical descendants of Jacob, who we know will obtain the seal of Elohim. By determining the spiritual qualification of these 144,000, we can determine the standard for all who will be sealed. Revelation 7:2-17 reveals, "And I saw another messenger coming up from the rising of the sun, holding the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud voice to the four messengers to whom it was given to harm the earth and the sea, saying, Do not harm the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim upon their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed out of all the tribes of the children of Israel. These are those coming out of the great distress, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Because of this, they are before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night in his dwelling place. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tent over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike them, nor any heat, because the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them and lead them to fountains of waters of life. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes." Now, Revelation 14, 1 through 5 is revealing. And I looked and saw a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written upon their foreheads. They are those who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are those following the Lamb wherever he leads them on. They were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to Elohim and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no falsehood, for they are blameless before the throne of Elohim. What Elohim has joined together. Now, there are many key lines in these passages that offer us clues concerning those who will obtain the seal of Elohim, under the premise that the 144,000 who were sealed in Revelation 7 are the spiritual standard. They are the prototype. To begin with, the focal aspect of the 144,000 who were sealed in Revelation 7 is sure, and it is found in Revelation 14:4, which is revealing. They are those who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Now, at first glance, one might look at this verse and presume that the 144,000 are virgins in the traditional sense, for that is how most Bibles read. But look, this interpretation disenfranchises those who are lawfully wed, for the bed is undefiled, and it is no sin for a man to have a physical relationship with his lawful wife. Hebrews 13:4 reads, "Let marriage be respected by all, and the bed undefiled. But Elohim shall judge those who whore and adulterers." Lo, here lies the inflection and the key to understanding this pivotal passage of Scripture in Revelation 14. It is so pivotal that I will offer it as our next inflection point, and I thoroughly encourage you to bookmark it and share it as you are led. Seeing as marriage is honorable and to be respected by all, there is no spiritual advantage to willful abstinence demonstrated by those who are unwed as it pertains to the seal of Elohim. We know this because the seal of Elohim is a super feature of the spirit of Elohim, and thus all the characteristics of the spirit are applied to the seal. By the spirit, we find Yahuwah Elohim declaring, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper for him as his counterpart." And by the same spirit, we find Yahushua Messiah declaring, "For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Therefore, what Elohim has joined together, let man not separate. Now look, it's time for our next revelation. The 144,000 who are sealed, according to Revelation 7, are not virgins in the traditional sense. They are not men who were handpicked to obtain the seal of Elohim for the simple fact that they had never been married and yet kept their virginity. Although many Bibles read this way, this is not the true interpretation of the scripture. This truth brings us to the question of the hour. Who are the 144,000 who are sealed in Revelation 7? The answer is sure, and I will reveal it in the upcoming podcast as I lean upon the Spirit to guide me as I rightly divide this word of truth. Now, here is the final word. The message we received from the start was, "Be ye holy and be set apart." You must believe me, the seal of Elohim is not for everyone, as it is a special feature of his spirit. It has been reserved for a special group of men and women who love him, for they have laid down their lives to serve his will. This is why he will go through great lengths to ensure that we are protected in these last days. And while the masses are removed from the earth by death, in the upcoming seasons, we, my friends, will stay. Now, here is what's next. We completed today's podcast, End Times 265, The Sealing of the 144,000, Part 1. And the next podcast is entitled End Times 266, The Sealing of the 144,000, Part 2. I will post this podcast on Monday, March 25th, 2024. Until then, my friends, continue to be led by the Spirit of Elohim. Continue to watch. Continue to pray. Continue in fasting. And most of all, continue to be focused, for the end is coming. The end is near.